If you have your Bibles, I would encourage you to turn with me to the Gospel of Luke and chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, and we'll begin reading at verse 35. Now, as we read this in my Bible, it starts with this heading, "Be ready for Christ's return." If you have a study Bible, it may say something like that. We are taking a look at the commands of Christ, the instructions that Jesus gives to his disciples, to his followers. And so that's what we want to look at this morning as we are reading his word. So here we are in Luke chapter 12, beginning at verse 35. And if you have a red letter edition of the Bible, you'll see it's in red letters. This means this is what Jesus said. And he said, "Let your waist be girded and your lamps burning, and you yourselves be like men who wait for their master when he will return from the wedding, that when he comes and knocks, they may open to him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the master, when he comes, will find watching. Assuredly, I say to you, that he will gird himself and have them sit down to eat and will come and serve them. And if he should come in the second watch or come in the third watch and find them so, blessed are those servants. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed this house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect." Amen. Then Peter said to him, "Lord, do you speak this parable only to us or to all people?" So here's what Peter was wondering. Peter, are you just talking to us, 12 disciples, or are you talking to everybody? The Lord said, "Who then is that faithful and wise steward whom his master will make ruler over his household to give them their portion of food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you that he will make him ruler over all that he has. But if that servant says in his heart, 'My master is delaying his coming,' and begins to beat the male and female servants and to eat and drink and be drunk, the master of that servant will come on a day when he's not looking for him and an hour when he's not aware and will cut him in two and appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. And that servant who knew his master's will and did not prepare himself or do according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he who did know, or did not know, yet committed things deserving of stripes, shall be beaten with few. For everyone to whom much is given, from him much will be required. And to whom much has been committed, of him they will ask the more." This passage of Scripture actually deals with our responsibility. The Lord is instructing us to be responsible. We want to look at those commands, as I mentioned. And so here's what we see. The first one, "Let your waist be girded and your lamps burning." And we say, well, what in the world? That doesn't apply to us. Does this mean that we need to wear belts? Actually, that's what it's talking about. They wore a garment, as you know, the robes, but that can be hard to run with. And so they had a belt kind of thing that they put around them, and they would gird up their robes so that they could run. And the lamps be burning. That's talking about being able to see where you are going. It reminds me of the old Motel 6 commercial. "We'll leave the light on for you, so you know." That's the first command. Here's the second commandment. Basically, the first commandment, Jesus is telling them he wants the kind of followers who are prepared and ready. And the second command, he said, therefore you also be ready, for the Son of Man will come in an hour that you don't expect. This is a command. It's not a suggestion. We need to be ready, for the Lord is coming, and we don't know when that is. Amen. So we need to arrange our lives accordingly, and we want to see how that works for us. So we're going to look at that from three perspectives. The first one is this, what Jesus was saying, and that was to be prepared. To be prepared, you have to have the right equipment. He was talking about that belt, that girdle, and the lamp. Both of those were essential in that day. But let's just use an illustration. I'm thankful for the Van Cleve Fire Department. We are in that district, and we've never had to use them, and we don't want to. I mean, we do if we need it, but we don't want to have any fires. But can you imagine if we would have to have some kind of a fire, we'd call them up, and we'd say, you know, here's the fire, it's right here, send your trucks. And they said, well, we can send some people over, but we don't have any trucks. We'll be glad to come over and watch with you as your house burns down, but we don't have any fire trucks, and we don't have any water. You say, I thought you were a firehouse, a fire station. How can you have a fire station and no fire trucks? That doesn't make any sense. Oh, no, they have the trucks. I've seen them. You have too. Thankful for that. They have the water tanker. Thankful for that. They have the equipment. They are prepared and ready. But can you imagine, as Christians, if we'd say, well, you know, the Lord's come back, but I'm not ready, I'm not prepared. What do you need to have? I'll tell you what you need to have. First of all, you need to be saved. You need to know that you are saved, that you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, that you have repented of your sins, asked Him to forgive you, and trusting Him by faith. I know what you need. You need to be saved. I know what you need. You need to be sanctified. You need to be all in. You need to have come to the point where you have given everything that you are to the Lord Jesus Christ and to His control, and let Him purify your hearts by faith. I know what you need. You need to be living for the Lord on a daily basis. Amen. Not just that's something that happened in the past, but it is something that is up to date, that we maintain our lifestyle, our life, our faith, our love for the Lord Jesus Christ today. Amen. Say, how do we do that? Well, I would encourage you to read the Bible every day, not just once a week. Not just when it feels good. Every day we need to be in God's Word. Every day we need to have a time of prayer with the Lord, a personal time of devotions, we call that. We're reading the Bible and praying, letting the Lord speak to us. And then we ask the Lord to take our day, which is one of the reasons why we encourage people to have their devotional time in the morning, the beginning of the day, so it can set the day aright for the rest of the day. We need to be prepared. What would happen if the Lord were to come on Tuesday? Would we be ready? We need to be ready. Well, that's not the only thing. We also need to get rid of the hindrances that are an issue. That's the reason for girding up the loins, or the girding up the garment, was to get rid of the stuff that would be in the way when they need to run. Reminds me of Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1, where it says, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. I'm reminded of those days when I used to run. That's been a while ago. And I had the leg weights, the ankle weights. You put them on your ankles and you practice that way. But when you went to run, you didn't run with the weights on. You took them off. You got rid of the things that were obstructions to you, and you ran. And that's true for us too. What is holding us back? What is keeping us from having a full walk with the Lord? Would we honestly ask the Lord, are there things that are distracting us or leading us astray? Let me just share. There was one record. Now this, you know, I was in the day before CDs. So these records are about this big around, plastic. Put them on a record player. They're coming back. Well, there was one record I had, and it was by a group that I liked. And I remember when the Lord spoke to me about that. And he said, the messages of those songs are not what you need. Now I had a choice. I could say, well, I already own this record, you know, so it's not a big deal. No, I knew I had to get rid of it. So I did. I got rid of it. You say, did you have some big, powerful, emotional experience, and was there a flash of lightning? No. Nope. I just got rid of it because it needed to go. Let me just share something else with you. This is the case of myself and my wife. We made the decision early on that something that would keep us from our walk with the Lord, it would be a hindrance, is TV, the programming of TV. So we made the decision to not have network television or cable TV. Now we have a TV in our home, and we use it for our own videos, and we can preview DVDs and those kinds of things. But I personally felt that I wouldn't be able to control it if we had television programming in our home. People say, well, come on now, how in the world will you ever know what's going on in the world? How will you keep up with the news? By the way, there are other ways that you can know the news besides TV. That's not an issue. It has actually been of great benefit in our lives across the years to not be distracted by that. I've called in many homes. Just be sure I'm not talking about yours. And I've been there, and the TV is on, and it just runs all day. I wonder, are there things that hold us back? And they may be legitimate things, but are they keeping us from walking with the Lord and being ready with the Lord? There are other things the Lord has spoken to me about, and so on, put our finger on, and it's not that we try to set up some rule and say these things are wrong. I'm saying, what is it in your life? Ask the Lord. Are we really open to asking the Lord if there are things that are hindering us from our walk with Him? There's a third thing, and that is, in being prepared, is to stay in shape. Did you know that our firefighters continue to train? Oh, they go through training to become certified to be a firefighter. But then that's not the end of it. They continue to train. I was meeting with the pastoral ministries class, which I'm teaching this week, and I was telling them, you know what, when you graduate from KMBC, that's not the end of your learning. It's not the end of your studying. It's not the end of your reading. We continue on, and we continue that. The same thing is true in our lives spiritually. Yes, I can tell you when I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. And that's been decades ago. But what about this last week? How am I staying in shape going forward in my walk with the Lord? We need to be prepared. But there's a second perspective that Jesus was talking about in this passage as well, and that is to be perceptive, to listen. Jesus talked about his faithful servants, listen, waiting for him. We need to be perceptive. They'll hear the knocking, and right along with that is the waiting, even as the night goes by. Now, back in that day, they divided the night into three watches. There was the first watch, the second watch, and the third watch. They didn't have clocks like we have, and so they had watches, and there would be a night watchman who would walk the city, and perhaps then there would be a one at the second watch that would take over from the first one, and so on. Here's what Jesus was saying. When he was saying, okay, so here comes somebody in the second watch of the night. It's the bridegroom going to announce the wedding. You need to be paying attention. You need to be waiting and ready. You don't know when the Lord is coming. The point is, we can't be careless. And verse 39 tells us to think. Listen, if a person knew that a thief was coming to their house, they'd try to outsmart the thief. Isn't that right? I've told this story before. You've heard it. It's Becky's story, really. But I'm preaching and she's not, so I'll tell it. She was a girl, and they got a phone call. Her parents went to prayer meeting every Wednesday night, and that they were able to, and they got a phone call. Somebody on the other end asked them what time prayer meeting service was. And so they, I don't remember if it was her father or mother, told them what time the service was, and the person then just hung up. And they thought that was a little strange. They lived out in the country, 7 miles from the nearest paved road. They're the only family on that mile of road. And they decided the next prayer meeting to stay home. So they turned the lights out. They parked the car so it couldn't be seen, so it looked like they were gone. Turned the lights out. My wife talks about got to play in the hallway with the one hallway light, you know, and there was this sense of, I don't know, dread, doom, anticipation, whatever it is, you know, and nothing was happening and nothing was happening. And then there was a car. It came down the road slowly in front of their place, pulled over to the side, and her dad watched. A couple of guys got out of the car, started around, headed for the front door of the house. He got the shotgun, and he opened the door for them when they got on the porch. That'd be a shock, wouldn't it? And then he invited them to come in. Well, they couldn't turn the invitation down. He had the shotgun. So they came in, and there was two teenagers from the area. He sat them down at the kitchen table, and they read the Bible to them. And then he said to them, do you need some gasoline in your car? And he said, I'll be glad to fill that up for you. Took them out, put gas in their car, sent them on the way. A different kind of a prayer meeting, but the point was, he was ready. He realized from that phone call, this is a different situation. Somebody's coming to rob the house. I'll be ready. And he was. We need to also be perceptive and aware of what's going on. Do you think see the things that are shaping up in our world? Do you recognize these what's going on? We read the Bible and prophecy of the Bible, and we see the situations developing in our world. We need to be perceptive. But thirdly, third perspective, we need to be productive. So Peter asked this question. So are you just talking to us, or are you talking to everyone? That's a good question. You'll notice that Jesus did not answer him directly. He began to talk about rewards. Give them their portion of food in due season. He began to talk about how we should be living our lives. Now we understand he was talking to everyone. And he said there are four things you need to be doing, or need to be. You need to be doing. There's no premium on idleness. You say, well, the Lord's coming back, so we'll just stop doing what we're doing. No, that's not God's plan. That's happened in the past. People were convinced that the Lord was coming at a particular time, so they sold their property, quit their jobs, went up to the mountain because they didn't have a head start. That's not what Jesus was saying. He said, what you know, you need to be ready, but you need to keep on being a doer. Don't just wait around doing nothing. be productive. Not only that, you need to be learning. This one follows the first one, what it means to be a disciple. What is a disciple? A disciple is a learner. To be a learner of the heart and ways of Jesus and putting that into practice in our lives. That's why we're looking at the various commands that Jesus gives to his disciples so we can learn how Jesus wants us to live. That's not all. He wants us to be consistent. Don't rely on past experiences alone. Certainly, it's good to review the blessings of the Lord in the past. But is our experience current? We've already talked about that. Are we progressing in our walk with the Lord? Are we being consistent? And verses 47 through 48, he says this, "And that servant who knew his master's will and did not prepare himself or do according to his will shall be beaten with many stripes. But he who did not know yet committed these things deserving of stripes, will be beaten with few." You know what? The Lord was teaching us we are responsible. A number of years ago, I had someone who wrote a letter to me, and that was before email, and they asked about, are there degrees of punishment for people? And I thought, well, now that's an interesting question. And so I went to the scriptures to find out. And the answer to that is yes. And this is one of the places it talks about it. We have a responsibility for what we know and for what the Lord has done in our life. He doesn't want us to be quitters. We need to continue going forward. I've told this story before. It was a Bible study, and it was a Bible study where there were only two Christians in the Bible study, me and another lady. The rest of those who were in the Bible study were not believers. They were not Christians. In fact, most of them had been ordered to be there by their father. They were grown men, grown women, so it was the sons and wives, and the father had ordered them to be at this Bible study. It was an interesting situation. And I was supposed to lead this Bible study. The father was not a Christian. He was not a believer, but he wanted me to teach the Bible to his kids. It was an interesting situation. So we started through, and they were at least kind. But I'll never forget the one time we were going over a different place in the Bible where this truth is there, that we are responsible. And one of the sons spoke up and said, "Do you mean to tell me the more I know about the Bible, the more responsible I am to it?" I said, "Well, that's true." And I remember him closing the Bible and saying, "Then I quit." Now, that didn't relieve him of responsibility. He already knew he was responsible to the Word of God. Amen. But he rejected it, and he did not come back. He decided, "I'm not going to do it." The Lord was telling that those who are walking with him must be responsible. We are responsible for our lives and what is going on. That doesn't mean that everything that happens is our responsibility, but how do we choose to live with the circumstances and the situation that God allows to come our way? It is easy to just blame other people. Just say, "Well, that's not my fault. I didn't do that, so I just won't worry about it." No, wait a minute. The Lord has made you who you are. And we are in this situation in life. The question is, what are we going to do about it? And that's our choice. The Lord is clear. We are responsible. Now, the more we walk with Jesus, the more responsible we are. But also the more grace and help we have as well. The Lord has not called us to shirk our responsibilities. He has called us to take those responsibilities and to go forward. You know, this is not the time to slack off, to back up, to quit, or to give up. The Lord is coming back.
Yes, he is.
And he wants his people to be responsible, ready for his coming. Will the Lord come this week? I don't know that. But I do know we should be ready.
Amen.
Will you stand with me? Lord, we love you and we're thankful for the difference that you make in our lives. Man, we're thankful for the freedom that we have in Christ. We are thankful for the forgiveness of sins. We're thankful for the purity of heart. And we're thankful for your faithfulness day by day. But Lord, are we ready for your coming? Are there some things that we'd be better off with if they weren't a part of our life? We got rid of the hindrances. Are we maintaining our devotional life with you? Do we have the right equipment going forward? Lord, are we listening, being perceptive, paying attention? And are we being productive as we're living for you? With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, before we dismiss the service this morning and go in different directions, I want to ask you, are you ready for the Lord's coming? Jesus is coming back, we know that. Are you ready? And are you living that way? This morning, if the Lord is speaking to your heart about something in particular, and you're not ready, you can take care of that right now.